Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we are talking about the high cost of loyalty.
Yeah, Joel, loyalty in our finances and our money, it can be an interesting thing, right? Like there's a good side of loyalty, but there's also this sort of bad slash high cost side to it. And I'm interested in picking this one apart with you today, man.
Yeah, loyalty, highly prized in friendship. You know, we're very loyal to each other. We're good friends. But when it comes to the world of personal finance, loyalty can often come back to bite you in the butt. And so we are going to talk about that a little bit. I'm looking forward to it. Matt, before we get into it, I wanted to mention that I saw the craziest story that I never thought I'd read in my entire life. Some kid made $3 million based on playing video games.
Yeah, you're talking about esports.
Seriously, I didn't realize. I know it's gotten really big, but it's gotten more than really big. It's enormous. The world of esports, and actually every day on my bike commute home, there's this new esports venue on my ride. I've never been in there. I have no idea exactly what it means, what it looks like on the inside. The windows are kind of dark. But apparently, people are trying to make money because this one kid, this 13-year-old kid, just won $3 million by winning like the Fortnite championships.
World championship.
Which is incredible.
Well, dude, next time you see those guys in that gaming spot, I mean, they're just in there trying to get their hustle on, right? They're just trying to make an extra buck.
It's a side hustle for some, I guess. Yeah. So I still probably wouldn't encourage my kids to go all in on Fortnite. Like, that's your path to riches or anything like that. But it is kind of interesting to see how esports has boomed into such a big industry, big enough to support a $3 million prize for a 13-year-old kid for winning the world championships at this one game. I'm truly fascinated by it.
Yeah, so check this out. Wired had an article earlier this year where they talked about how last year, about 200 different colleges offered around $15 million in esports scholarships.
Wow.
Yeah, that's legit. Like, that's a real amount of money. And get this, there's this game called the League of Legends.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's another huge game, sort of like Fortnite.
Kind of like Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly like Mario Party. Did you ever play that one? That was a good one.
No, but I did like Mario Kart, even though I never owned
N64.
I never owned the N64, but that was a fun game.
Okay, so League of Legends, though, for the World Championship last year, it had more viewers than the Super Bowl and the NCAA Final Four combined.
No way.
Which is just completely insane.
I think my head just exploded.
Yeah, seriously. The thought of that many people tuning in to watch these folks play this game. I mean, like you said, it's blown up to be this real legit industry. And when it comes to potentially prize money and funding college, I mean, to actually get real scholarships, I think the article said that the average scholarship recipient for esports received around $4,000 to $5,000. That's real money that high schoolers are scoring to use that to be able to apply to their school. I mean, I think that's fantastic. And it's not a world that you and I are really that part of. But even Atlanta United, our soccer team, they have an esports team or a branch where these guys they're playing soccer. And, you know, I mentioned this to Kate and she said, that's just so silly. But we go and we watch people play sports. And these folks are playing games, so how is it that much different, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel you.
I'm not going to knock it when there's a legit industry behind it.
Physical feats, to me, feel a little different than twitching your thumbs, but I completely understand. I guess the one thing I do worry about is it becomes harder to parent when your kids have some sort of financial gain potentially on the line.
It's like this is going to pay for college, Mom. Back off.
Yeah, then what do you say to your kid when it's truly like they really might get some full ride scholarship to some university based on how good they are at video games? I don't know.
That's true.
It's a little weird, but also kind of cool. So interesting to talk about. All right, let's talk about something else that's interesting, Matt. Today on the show, we're drinking a beer called Fairy Nectar London. It's a double dry hopped India Pale Ale by Cross Strain Brewing Company, sent to us by listener Joey in Omaha.
Yeah, this is the second beer that Joey sent us. Monday's episode, we had regular Fairy Nectar, and this one is Fairy Nectar London.
Yeah, Monday's beer was great, the regular Fairy Nectar. We'll see how this one holds up. We'll talk about that at the end of the episode. But okay, Matt, now on to the topic at hand. We're talking about the high cost of loyalty. Loyalty in so many ways is such a good thing. To have loyal family and friends when you're going through hard times, well, that's invaluable. You can't put a price on it. But in our current economy, loyalty isn't often rewarded when we're talking about like transactional loyalty. So oftentimes your loyalty is seen as a way to pay you less or charge you more. So how should you handle loyalty considering kind of the current climate that we're in? Well, that's what we're trying to address in this episode.
And Joel, this is a nuanced conversation, right? And it's worth noting when loyalty is appropriate and even called for sometimes. There may be some justifiable and even good reasons why we might be loyal, whether it's to specific brands or service providers or even stores. And one of those that I want to mention is if you can get behind a company's mission statement or their business philosophy, well, in those cases, money is going to matter less. I'm specifically thinking of a company like Patagonia. They have clearly outlined how, you know, it's their goal to essentially take care of the earth. And for a lot of folks out there, we have a mission statement like that that aligns with their personal belief. Well, it doesn't matter if their clothing or their products cost a lot more because the amount that they're spending just matters that much less. And on top of that, they know that money that they are spending is going towards those missions, right? It's going towards what they believe in.
That's why a company like Tom's, I think, did so well.
Oh, yeah.
Because they kind of threw a game changer out there that if you buy one pair of shoes, you know what you're doing? You're buying a pair of shoes for someone else who's in need. And that resonated with people. And so a bunch of different businesses have taken on a philosophy like that.
Yeah, the one for one sort of approach.
And Patagonia even started before that with a different business model, but where they are putting their money where their mouth is in regards to what they support. I think loyalty is understandable in those circumstances. That's for sure.
Did you ever own a pair of Toms back in the day?
I never did.
Really?
It was a Goofy on me, so I just didn't do it. I was more of a Chuck's guy. You know,
yeah, Chuck, you kind of got those big feet. I had my...
What? Yeah, I guess maybe.
Don't you wear like size 12s? Like your...
Yeah.
You're talking about your Scottie Pippen basketball shoes.
They were pretty big.
All I know is that I wore my Toms until there were holes in them. Like I basically, and I've done this before, but I almost like had cut off the back half of the shoe to where it was almost like a pair of clogs. They had evolved from like the Toms shoe almost into sort of this like sad looking pair of sliders that you could just kind of slide your foot into. And they weren't pretty.
Well, you did the same thing with a pair of New Balances, as I recall.
Yeah. Well, that was intentional. The Toms thing, they just kind of wore and I had them for years. So.
All right. So maybe every once in a while you should...
Maybe I should get some new shoes.
Yeah, buy a new pair of shoes. That's what I was going to say. Another reason that loyalty is truly justified is if you're getting an excellent product or fantastic service. So if you have found a particular product that does exactly what you need it to do, right? It fits and everything that they say it's going to do, it does it and more. Well, keep going back. Keep buying that product. Loyalty is totally understandable if essentially the message on the website, the message on the box meets what comes out of it. And also too, if you have found a company that offers incredible customer service, well, it's worth it to keep going back there too. And Matt, there are even certain companies that have developed like a cult following based specifically around their customer service. Companies like Zappos have just kind of changed the game and they've raised the bar on what people expect when it comes to customer service. Or even a company like Warby Parker, who's lowering the price, offering quality glasses, but then just giving you this ability to try on these frames in your own home. If you found a company that offers you something superior like that, that you can't find anywhere else or are hard pressed to find service at that level, well, I think your loyalty to a company like that makes a lot of sense too.
And you're mentioning these newer companies as well, like the kind of the 2.0 companies, right? But even some of the old school companies that offer fantastic customer service.
Costco.
They get rewarded, like maybe Costco. I don't know. I've never,
definitely
never
Costco.
Stepped foot inside one before. I'm kidding. I've been in one before.
But. Okay. I was going to say, wow, much to your detriment.
But I'm thinking of like insurance companies, specifically like Amica. I'm thinking of USAA. People love those insurers because they provide fantastic service. Not because they have the lowest prices, but because they treat their customers so well. And so, you know, on one end, you've got just really amazing service and we're talking about great products. But I'm also thinking of, too, just smaller things. Like, for instance, we always buy the same Chemex filters for our Chemex coffee maker. And we've tried cheaper ones. And you know what? Our coffee kind of tasted like cardboard that time that we did that. And so we know that we get these same ones every single time. And you know what? We might pay a little bit more sometimes because the price fluctuates. But we know that that's one less decision that we have to make. And it's worth it to kind of free up some of that mental space and automate more of our life.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're talking about the positive elements of loyalty before we kind of
dive into the negative,
demolish the idea that you should be loyal to companies or service providers, right? Another reason I think too that loyalty can be called for is, let's say you have an emotional attachment to a company. There's nostalgia sometimes at play in the decisions that we make when it comes to how loyal we are to companies that we've done business with. Sometimes it's like what your family has been used to. Brands can be really good at playing on nostalgia, but really it's up to you to decide whether it's worthwhile to stay loyal to a company that has these like nostalgic qualities.
Yeah, Joel, I think what you said there about it being up to the individual is so important, because maybe you just grew up around like Kate Spade products and that's just what you are going to get. Or like with tools, I'm thinking of like Craftsman Tools, or like Snap-on is a really nice tool company. And if that's what you've always used because you know that A, it's just a fantastic product, but you also have a lot of emotional attachment, then it's up to you to determine how much value that you're garnering from that product. Even a company like Coca-Cola.
That's honestly the first one I thought of.
Oh, really?
When we're talking about nostalgia, I'm like, man, it's like the script.
What's more nostalgic than Coca-Cola?
It's the red can. It's everything, right? And I will say the worst thing about going to Costco is that they have Pepsi machines in there. But honestly, over time, the more Pepsi I've had, because I've been forced to by Costco, it's not that bad. And I realize that kind of part of why I drink Coke more than I drink Pepsi, so much of it is nostalgic.
I don't know how you could say that Pepsi is not that bad.
It's not that bad.
We live in Atlanta, sir. Like, come on. We're Coca-Cola for life.
Yeah, I mean, I lost some street cred, that's for sure.
So those are maybe some different reasons why you can justify that you are loyal to a store or a brand. But a bad reason for us to be loyal is if we haven't put any energy into researching, if we haven't put any energy into shopping around, and we're loyal by default, that is just not good. With some purchases, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Like, you know, we talk about Amazon a bunch, but we always get the Amazon Basics batteries. And you know
do.
What?
Not me.
You don't?
No.
Well, you probably get the Costco ones.
Duh.
And so there might be batteries out there that maybe are a little bit cheaper. But you know what? For me, those Amazon Basics, they work just fine. And that's one less decision I have to make. And it's not that big of a deal because it's batteries. So I'm spending $20 on 100 AA's. Literally, I just bought those and they showed up today.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I definitely get the Costco batteries, the Kirkland Signature batteries. I do have some Amazon Basic rechargeable batteries, though.
Nice, nice. Either way, though, we're talking about batteries here. This is a small dollar conversation, right? This is a $20 conversation.
It's like the first rung of the ladder. Who really cares?
Yeah. But then some things that we're going to get to here, it's a big deal. I'm talking about things like insurance, things where we spend a lot of money on. You most definitely need to be aware of what you're spending in those categories, because if you're not, that could be costing you a ton of money. We just want to make sure that we're not being loyal because we're just being lazy.
No, Matt, that's a great point. Laziness is not the same thing as loyalty. And if we're loyal by default without doing the research, that's not good for our bottom line. And we're going to talk about some of those major places where your loyalty can actually work against you, including potentially where you work. We'll talk about that right after the break.
All right, man, we are back, and let's go ahead now and discuss some places, some industries where loyalty is not rewarded. You just teased to this, but let's talk about loyalty in the workplace. Loyalty, back in the day, it was very commonplace in American businesses. We've heard tons of stories of prior generations working with the same company for 30 plus years, getting that gold watch. And at the same time, everyone got pensions. It was fantastic. Well, it's just no longer the case. There's an implicit agreement that has gone by the wayside. And we're seeing just less loyalty from both employers, but also from employees as well.
Yeah, and I think when the paradigm shifts and employers have less loyalty to their employees, right? And this can be different depending on where you work and what company you work for. There might be a really great track record of loyalty at your specific place of business. And in which case, it might make sense for you to be a more loyal employee. But overall, the dynamics have drastically shifted. And so blind loyalty just doesn't make sense in the current economy. And so even at your workplace, your undying loyalty is not necessarily a good thing. And it's important just to realize the fact that the dynamics have changed, and where you work today might not be the place where you're working 10 years from now, much less a couple of years from now.
Yeah, Joel, this also might be a good time to encourage our listeners to sort of self-analyze and for them to ask themselves if they tend to be a loyal person in general. I'm thinking of the Myers-Briggs test, right? I don't know if there's a section where loyalty tends to be more associated with a certain letter, right? Like maybe it's like feeling over thinking, right? Like the third category or something like that.
Could be. I don't know, but it could be. That's for sure.
But I think certain individuals have a tendency to be more or less loyal. And so to be aware of that when you are going into these conversations that you might have with an employer, knowing your natural tendencies and whether or not you lean towards the loyal side or not, it's good to be aware of that.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt. I think inherent loyalty, if that's a trait that you kind of possess more than most people, I think there's even more cause for you to start to consider some of the things that we're talking about in this episode.
Yeah, it could be costing you.
All right. So another area that it could be costing you where loyalty isn't typically rewarded is in just regular retail business. Retailers want you to shop at their stores. They want you to purchase items on their website. But most retailers these days are too large and too dumb to think about you as a reoccurring customer. There's a major shift that's happened across the United States when it comes to how we get the products that we use, how we get our groceries, how we get consumer staples, and how we buy the things that we just enjoy, the things that are frivolous that we don't even need. And there's certainly some benefits to the way things have changed. Prices have come down. The level of competition is stiff in that regard, but many retailers have also gotten too big for their own good. And so when it comes to treating you as a valuable customer, well, they've lost sight of knowing how to do that well. This can be seen in the promotions that you see, let's say for a cell phone service company, where they say it's for new customers only. And if you've been a loyal customer for 4, 5, 6 years, maybe even longer, the cell phone company says, you know what? You don't qualify for this rate. It's just for new customers. And you know what that makes me want to do? Run away and find a better deal elsewhere. That is a way in which this company says, we don't value your loyalty. And I feel like I'm seeing things like this happen more and more.
Yeah, that's so true. For new or returning customers, because sometimes they'll put that in there as well, because they know folks are bouncing around, right?
If you've been gone a year, maybe, yeah. Maybe you can get the good rate then.
Another industry sort of category to consider are insurance companies. We just touched on this for a little bit earlier, but 60% of folks never shop at all, and only 10% are willing to even consider switching. So insurance companies often are the worst culprits, which also means that the savings are often the most substantial when it comes to insurance. It turns out in many states, insurance companies will base their rates on quote-unquote price optimization, which means that they base it on their guess as to how much they can increase your rates without you going elsewhere, which makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm this algorithm, essentially, not a real human being.
Exactly.
And they're going to see how high they can turn up the heat before I jump out of the pot, if we're talking about that frog in the boiling pot of water scenario, you know? And yeah, when I read stuff like that, man, it just makes me want to call up a local independent insurance agent tomorrow and start shopping, because it's so true. The longer you've been with an insurance company, in all likelihood, the higher your rates are, not based on accidents that you've been in, not based on true facts, right? But based on the fact that you haven't left, and that's why they're charging you more, and it's just utterly ridiculous. And another place, another industry that does not reward you for loyalty is with TV and internet companies. We just talked about cutting the cord recently in episode number 107. Shop frequently. The best deal that you find today may not be the best deal tomorrow. Pitting these companies against each other and ruthlessly bargaining them down is the only way that you are going to get a good deal. Staying loyal, sticking with the same company in this arena, the arena of pay TV and internet, is going to cost you lots of money in the long run. That loyalty is never rewarded, I promise you.
Yeah, and Joel, don't forget about banks, especially the big ones. It doesn't matter how long you've been with them. They don't care, and they're not going to cut you any breaks. The closest thing that I think you could get to when it comes to being rewarded for your loyalty is if you have an old account that's kind of being grandfathered in. I had one of those with one of the bigs for a while, and the way that they would talk about it or refer to that specific account anytime I went into a local branch, it's almost like they were doing me a favor by allowing me to maintain that account, which had lower minimums, in order for there to not be a fee, which I obviously appreciated. But it's not a benefit. It's just them like adhering to their word. This is an account I opened years ago, and just because they don't offer that account now, I personally don't see that as a reward or a benefit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think sometimes older companies have just a different mentality than newer companies that are trying to compete in the same space. And if you look at something like, let's say, take for example, Tesla versus, you know, an older, more established car company. Tesla has kind of just broken the rules. Like what they're offering is just completely different than traditional car companies. And so many of those traditional car companies are now trying to compete in a new landscape where they realize things are changing quickly. Mm-hmm. And as technology changes in regards to internet and TV, like we talked about a little bit in episode 107, and just as technology has changed the car industry, it's changing the cable and internet industry as well. And pretty soon we're going to have 5G. The options that we're going to have for home internet are going to drastically shift, and it's going to hit some of these older players in the industry really hard. And the longer that we stay loyal to companies that don't really feel any loyalty towards us, well, it's not hurting them, it's hurting us.
And Joel, it's worth mentioning too that we're naming some entire industries. And even though, in general, maybe the auto industry is a little behind the times, there are certain companies, certain outliers who are doing things well, for instance, Tesla. And so it kind of comes down to you as an individual to see whether or not the specific company or the brand that you love, to examine whether or not they are doing things that are rewarding you as a customer. Another sort of industry that I'm thinking of is just housing. I'm thinking of like the large apartment complexes, right? And in general, their policy is to raise rent year after year. That's just what they do.
Yeah, no loyalty taken into account. That's for sure.
Yeah, typically it's not up to a specific individual. There's just a company-wide policy, in particular if it's one of these bigger companies, that they just have these rules. This is just what they do. However, that's not the case with all apartment complexes. And it's certainly not the case when it comes to smaller mom and pop landlords, which you and I kind of claim to be. And so...
Well, kind of are.
This is what we are.
Yeah.
And so hold on to that thought, because after the break, we're going to talk about where loyalty is rewarded.
All right, Matt, we're back and we're talking about when our loyalty is actually rewarded. We're going to get to what exactly we do when we're doing business with companies that don't reward our loyalty in just a bit. But you gave a good example about an apartment complex versus a mom and pop landlord. An apartment complex is more like a giant bureaucracy that says rates are going up 8% this year across the board, no questions asked. And it doesn't matter if you've been in that apartment complex for 5 years, 10 years, or 6 months. It's happening. Just the same to everyone. You can't ask for a discount. It's not going to happen. But if you have a personal relationship with a landlord and you've been there for a few years, you've paid rent on time, you've built a little bit of a relationship, there's an element to which your loyalty can be rewarded in a personal relationship like that. And so I think in that case, actually raising the question with your mom and pop landlord over why your rent's going up based on your history, well, there's actually room for movement where that wasn't a possibility with a big apartment complex, you know?
Yeah, another quick example I'm thinking of where you could or couldn't see loyalty rewarded depending on who you're with. Again, let's go back to that insurance example. I'm thinking of the insurance agent who I have my business insurance with. We have an inland marine policy and a liability policy with this guy. Have you ever heard of an inland marine policy? It's kind of a fancy business term.
No, man. Sounds fancy. Never heard of it.
You're like, do you actually have a boat? What's that all about?
Yeah.
Inland marine is basically like insurance for any gear, like possessions. So in my case, cameras, computers, lenses, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
But I wanted to mention that a couple years ago, our policies were about to shoot through the roof. And he was able to actively find a way to combine those policies into something that was providing us with the exact same coverage, but in the end was going to end up costing us a lot less. In my experience, that's just an example of where relationship and experience, I mean, we'd been with him for a few years, that trumped the cost. And for him to kind of reach out to us and provide us with not only that kind of service, but also that kind of savings, man, that was a huge win for us within an industry that doesn't typically reward loyalty.
Another example of an industry where loyalty is actually rewarded, but not even actually by the company necessarily, is credit cards. The longer you have a credit card, the better your credit score does. So it's not actually the credit card company that is rewarding you for having been a longtime customer. It's that being a longtime customer looks better to the credit bureaus, which helps you out in a lot of ways. And we just talked about that last week. But it's just worth throwing in that your loyalty there matters, even if it doesn't necessarily matter to the specific company that you have a credit card with.
Let's talk about something completely different than the credit card industry. Let's talk about local businesses. Your brick and mortars that are going to be near you are typically where you are likely to see loyalty rewarded. For example, even as simple as being a regular at a local bar or a restaurant, it's likely that you're not only going to get fantastic service, assuming that you tip well, but there might even be special little benefits that you get. Maybe there's a special beer on draft that you didn't order, but the bartender knows you and knows that you're all about those sour beers and wants you to try it. Well, that might even show up at your table without you having asked. There are some softer, sort of intangible lifestyle benefits that come, and it's harder to put a dollar amount on things like that, but just don't underestimate that benefit as well.
Yeah, for me, this is huge, Matt. I feel like there was a bar I used to go to like probably 10 years ago with my buddies, and we'd play trivia there most weeks. And the way they treated us, just because we were regulars, was, I mean, it just was awesome. I loved walking in there. I felt like I became friends with a lot of the folks that worked there. And just knowing the servers and the bartenders, as human beings that I engaged with and enjoyed, and then seeing them around town, that was enjoyable for me. And the same thing, there's this local beer store I go to. The guy who runs the beer section, he and I have become really good friends just because I go in there, you know, once a week, every other week, maybe too often. But we've had so many great conversations about things other than beer now because I've been going there for years. And so it doesn't matter if I can save a dollar on a six pack somewhere else. My loyalty is rewarded through friendship and through great service. So those are intangibles that you're right, that you can't really put a price tag on, but they're meaningful, right?
Yeah, it just leads to a better experience for everyone. Kind of going the opposite direction, though, I want to talk about smartphone apps. Look into utilizing apps that offer rewards and free meals and drinks from, you know, earning points. Basically, these apps have replaced the punch card from back in the day when you will walk into a coffee shop, get a coffee, you know, they punch the card, you get 10 punches, boom, got a free coffee.
Although those still exist.
I still have two of them in my wallet from for local places.
Yeah, it's mostly local places, right, that still use the punch card, and it's bigger restaurants or coffee shops that use the apps.
Yeah, the different franchises. I'm thinking of Moe's. I'm thinking of Starbucks. You know, you earn a certain number of points and then you get those freebies. But plus, you get freebies on your birthday as well. I don't know if you've ever jumped on the different apps on your birthday, man, but you can score an entire day of meals without spending a single dollar. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I don't really drink Starbucks, but maybe just a couple times a year. But from everyone that I know that drinks Starbucks regularly, they say the app is just awesome to use because you do score free drinks from time to time just by being kind of a regular customer. And even just those little things, right? Like having this app that gives you some freebies from time to time does breed a sense of loyalty.
Yeah, and not just freebies too, but we're talking about maybe some of the different platforms that offer a rating system. They allow access to better service and the ability to even just use that service at all. I'm thinking of eBay, where if you have a higher score and you're reviewed more, there's a better chance of folks bidding on your items for sale. Or Airbnb, if you're a renter and you have a lot of great reviews, well, there's a better chance of your reservation being accepted by the host. And so these benefits, they're able to be enjoyed by the different users, by the different customers who are loyal and who are using these apps and using these platforms and these websites, and they're using them frequently. And even with ride-sharing sites as well, I'm thinking of Uber and Lyft. Basically, the more you use it and the more that you are a good human being while you're using these apps, you get rewarded.
Yeah, Matt, and like you mentioned with eBay, the more you sell on eBay, the higher ratings you get, the more people trust what you're selling, and that loyalty is just rewarded. Same thing with being an Airbnb host. Speaking of Airbnb, let's talk about travel loyalty rewards programs. Well, many of these have been watered down over the years. The more you fly an airline, right, you get frequent flyer miles. And frequent flyer miles used to be prized. They've become worth less over time. They've been devalued. But still, I think it's important to join these programs because there is some sort of loyalty reward that's given. I think there's a caveat, though. We shouldn't just book with an airline because we're a member of their loyalty rewards program. It's nice to get those miles on the back end after we take the trip, but we should shop on price first and foremost. And one of our favorite ways to shop based on price is a site called Scott's Cheap Flights. So check that out. Sign up for those emails. They'll notify you of the cheapest flights, especially international flights. So basically, sign up for the rewards programs, but don't count on them to do too much. Don't be blindly loyal to one airline because you signed up for their frequent flyer program first. Ultimately, a super low fare means a heck of a lot more than building up your status in an airline's loyalty program.
All right, let's talk about what we think you should do when it comes to loyalty and your money. And that is to be loyal where loyalty is shown to you. And you're more likely to encounter that loyalty locally, in particular, where there is another human being involved. Anytime that we can foster and develop relationships, it's easy to see how that can translate into either lower costs, better service, or a better product overall.
And when you're not finding loyalty where you're shopping, well, shop around. Shopping for a different service provider or just shopping for that item elsewhere doesn't take as long as you think. You'll save money and have the amazing feeling of having empowered yourself to make a change for the better. If you feel like your loyalty isn't being valued, take your business elsewhere.
But Joe, let's say you don't want to take your business elsewhere and you want to stay with a company, but you just want to lower price. Well, work the system. just try to think a little differently when it comes to how you interact with that company. Don't be afraid to ask for discounts. We talked about that way back in episode 18. We've also found that contacting them and reaching out to their customer service via Twitter is a fantastic way to see results. And if push comes to shove, see if you can connect with their customer retention department, because like the name says, that's their entire job, is to keep you as a happy customer. Well, maybe not happy, but just as a customer.
Yeah, I was going to say, basically when you do this, these companies aren't reacting based on your loyalty, but based on you being the squeaky wheel. So if you're not finding loyalty, it doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't do business with that company. It does mean, though, that you might have to work the system in order to get a better deal. All right, another place where your loyalty might not be rewarded that we talked about earlier is the workplace. And some stats bear out that you'll make much less money by staying with an employer over the long haul. And in fact, if you end up working for an employer, even just over 2 years, typically you end up making less money. You would make more by accepting a job elsewhere. So obviously, it's important to consider your personal happiness, the projects you're working on, who you're working with, and the personal fulfillment that you find in your day-to-day work. It's just important to note and to realize that loyalty is often penalized by lots of employers in the form of smaller raises. So just like an apartment complex that jacks up the rates on everyone at the same amount every year, well, employers often have maximum raise amounts that they're willing to give out. And if you've been someplace where raises have been capped for quite a while, but you feel like you should be making more, there's a good chance that that's not going to happen in your current work environment. And the best way to actually do that is to apply elsewhere. Essentially, blind loyalty, even to an employer, is worth questioning considering what's potentially at stake.
Nice. All right, Joel, I am excited to jump back to this beer because we basically had the little brother version of this beer on Monday, the traditional fairy nectar, and it was good. But I've got to say, this version, the Fairy Nectar London, was delicious, and I'm going to let you give your thoughts first.
Sure. Last week on the show, we had a gold medal winning beer at the Great American Beer Festival. This was a silver medal winning beer. So we've had some fancy beers on the show lately, and this one was really, really good, man. There's no wonder it won a silver medal award. It's a really, really good beer. Delightfully juicy, and I think what I love most about it was that the flavor lingers so long on your tongue. It's one of those sippers that you could drink over hours, but you're tasting those flavors as they kind of bloom on your tongue the whole time, even when you're not sipping it. It was really, really enjoyable.
Well, we may have mentioned that this was a double dry hot beer. And for me, a lot of times with a double dry hot beer, it tends to have this almost sort of funky blue cheese-like flavor. It's hard to describe, and people are going to be totally turned off if they hear that. But if you've had some really good dry hot beers, you know what I'm talking about. However, this specific beer also has a lot of fruit action going on. It's got like a lot of tropical fruits and just fruity flavors in general. And that blue cheese flavor mixed with like the kind of fruitiness makes me think of like a drunken goat cheese. Ever had drunken goat before?
Nope.
It's a goat cheese, and I think the way they do it,
hang out with drunk goats from time to time.
But I think they typically will take that goat cheese and then age it in wine or something like that. There's some sort of like wine action infused into the cheese. It's not like that goat got drunk and then they made cheese from it, right?
Oh, good. I think PETA would be on that if, exactly, they, if that were exactly the case.
That is not allowed. And this makes this just a really unique beer. And I've never described a beer quite this way before, but I hope to describe more beers this way because more folks will jump on that drunken goat train, man. I'm all about this. Another huge thanks to Joey in Omaha for sending this one and our beer earlier this week to us. Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, thanks, Joey.
All right, Joel, let's kick it to our final thoughts. When it comes to loyalty, it is okay to be loyal to specific companies or brands, but just make sure that you are doing it intentionally, whether it be because of their excellent products, maybe they've got a great mission statement, or you've got other reasons. Maybe you have an emotional attachment or even some slight convenience. Make sure that you are being loyal intentionally.
Also, think about where your loyalty is being taken advantage of. There are certain places and industries where your loyalty just isn't rewarded. When it is rewarded, it makes sense for you to be loyal in return. But where it isn't, it makes sense to shop around and save money or work the system to get a better deal. All right, Matt, that's going to be it for this episode. Folks can find show notes for this one on our website at howtomoney.com.
And a quick thanks to all of our listeners out there who have left amazing reviews over on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate that. But if you haven't done that yet, we would totally appreciate if you clicked over there and left us a review. And while we're thanking folks, I want to thank all of our listeners out there who have sent us beers to have on the show. Man, we really appreciate that. They have been delicious. that's just a part of the show that we have been delightfully surprised with, where we get to have amazing beers from all across the country that we wouldn't normally be able to get our hands on. So thanks to all of our listeners out there for that.
Seriously, dude, we've had some really good beers from all across the country, from just really cool people that are really excited about the breweries in their area. And there's some sort of really cool connection when we get to drink a beer, a favorite beer from a local brewery of someone who listens to the show. I mean, that's just so cool. So yeah, for sure. That has been one of the coolest parts of doing the show.
Yeah. Thanks to the loyalty of our listeners.
Loyalty. I like it.
So Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.